Without a doubt, we could listen to that all morning long. Thank you. And friends, good morning this chilly morning here to Gates Presbyterian Church for this Fusion Sunday. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together in your bulletin. There are announcements in a calendar. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any additional questions that you might have. A few notes about today. Today is a Fusion Sunday, and that means that there is no Sunday school during or following worship. We try to create an inclusive worship experience for all ages, so children are more than welcome to stay in worship today, and you'll notice a few different elements in your bulletin, so just pay attention as we do things a little differently here this morning. Also, a note about the following worship. There is a potluck. Don't worry if you forgot something. It's okay. I saw plenty of crock pots of soup, and we also have additional bowls and spoons. Everyone is welcome to stay. We will also be holding our annual meeting, so we'll get our food, we'll sit down, we'll make sure that everyone has a chance to get started eating, and we'll hold that meeting. I know you all missed having those annual reports in hand since there was no worship last week. You'll find those in various places out in the hallway, also down in Fellowship Hall. Grab a copy of those annual reports. We'll also have a chance to hear from our property development team today. And I know other announcements this morning. Jen?
Good morning. Both youth groups will meet tonight here at the church at 6 p.m., but my bigger announcement is about next Sunday. It's the Super Bowl, and I'm not talking about football. The junior highs are going to be collecting cans of soup. It's becoming one of the nation's biggest weekends of giving, besides all the football. So they will be coming off of an overnight. So they may be a little glassy-eyed, a little manic, but they will be at both doors demanding your soup. So please raid your pantries or go shopping, but please bring soup next week. Thank you.
And another opportunity to help those who are facing food shortages, we will be a food link distribution site. I believe it is next Sunday, so take a look in your bulletin, also out on the kiosk for more information. And if folks were kind of holding back a little bit on volunteering for that because they thought, oh, I don't want to go stand out in the parking lot to distribute food, we are going to try and experiment, and we're going to try to bring all the food and our volunteers and our guests inside. So don't worry, you'll be able to stay warm. Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. Thank you. or you can stand back up if you want. And everyone can stand up and let us join together in our spoken and sung responsive call to worship.
Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. What would God have us do?
Lord, guide our lives and our service.
Lord, call us to
look beyond words.
Help us, O Lord, to see ways of service.
Open our hearts and our spirits this day to receive your guidance.
Help us to be those people who bring good news to those in darkness and doubt.
Worship God with thanksgiving for gifts of ministry.
Let us praise God with joyful hearts for opportunities to serve.
You may be seated. And now let us join our voices together in a time of confession. Holy One, you call us to be your presence, your body in this world. But too often we get caught up in being a hand or a foot and lose sight of the overarching mission you set before us.
We fracture into pieces. We go our separate ways, forgetting we need each other to be whole. It is so hard to sing new songs when we feel like we are falling apart. Renew our hearts with your joyful light. In spite of our individual inadequacies, God has called us together to be Christ's body, and each one of us is indispensable. God remembers us, giving each of us distinct gifts, equipping each of us to provide guidance and accountability for one another, that we all may be more faithful followers of Christ. We are all greater than as one body than any single member of us could be on our own. And at this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, let's have a seat together. All right, this question is not only for my friends up in the front, but for everyone sitting in the whole sanctuary. Raise your hand if you feel a little bit busy. Who feels a little bit busy? Yeah, that's about how I feel too. Okay, we can put our hands down. So today, we're going to talk about something called the prelude in the introit. Who knows what prelude means? Friends in front, raise your hand if you know what prelude means. One hand over there, Owen. What does it mean? I bet you've heard your dad say that word a lot. Yeah. So a prelude is a piece of music right at the beginning of worship. And that is a time for us that we can prepare. You may have heard Melissa say these words, to prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Raise your hand if you prepare for school somehow. What do we do for school? Yeah, we get our backpacks. What else do we do for school? Eat breakfast, Caitlin? Get on the bus, maybe do some homework. And I know your parents often have to prepare for going to work in different ways. Yep, Grayson?
Every time I go to school, when I bring my lunch, my mom always makes my lunch.
Oh, that's nice of your mom to make your lunch. So sometimes people can help us prepare for worship too. So the person that is going to help us prepare for worship is the person that prays, that plays the prelude. And that is a way built right into our service here that helps us prepare our hearts and our minds and quiet our thoughts and start to get into a holy space. We can get into a holy space through prayer, through music, through meditation, and it starts us to get ready to listen to what God might be saying for us. So right now, we're going to practice listening. And I want to see if we can all be quiet for 1 minute. Let's see if we can make this whole sanctuary quiet right now. Ready and quiet. Sometimes it's not always possible, but I think we got pretty darn close to total quiet. So good job for that. The next thing we're going to practice, and I want everybody in this whole big sanctuary to practice, we're going to practice really listening to the prelude. We're going to practice seeing if we can quiet our thoughts and get centered and really prepare to hear the word of God. So we're going to practice, and we're going to listen to a little bit of what the prelude was today again. And you are lucky, because Chris is playing the prelude right on a piano up front, so you get a close view this week. So she's going to play a little bit of the prelude, and I want you to try to be totally quiet and listen to the music and slow your bodies down. Okay, Chris? Thank you. you, Chris. That was beautiful. Raise your hand if you felt yourself relax a little bit. Yeah. Relaxing our bodies and our minds is one way to prepare for really being able to listen to what is being said in the worship service. Following the prelude, they have something called the intro. So you might often hear the big choir sing, or like today, the junior choir sing our intro. And that is another opportunity to prepare ourselves for the rest of worship. So will you pray with me? Dear God, please help me prepare for worship, for school, or for anything that I might be called to do. Be with me this day and the future whenever I'm getting ready for anything. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your families.
Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today's scripture has been fulfilled just as you have heard it."
Out at the blue sky up above, thankful for the day that's just beginning, and find a brand new way to share God's love. Pass it on, someone who's beside you. Pass it on, be sure to let it show.
Our second reading of the word today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. And indeed, that body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot were, say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Because if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members, they don't need this. But God has given, so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church apostles and second prophets, teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles and possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Strive for the greater gifts, and I will still show you a more excellent way. This summer, when Kathy Coons, our clerk of session, whose birthday it is, by the way, you thought you were going to get away with that, but no, sorry, Kathy, happy birthday. This summer, though, she was going through some documents here at church to take down to the Presbyterian Historical Society, and she ran across this typewriter-typed set of instructions that she shared with me. It was entitled, How to Usher. There was no date, but I'm going to guess, just based on content, 1950s or so. Ushering is important, the instructions begin, reminding readers that the usher is the first person a stranger sees upon entering the church. And if the usher is, and I quote, ill-groomed or scowling, the stranger will think the entire church as substandard. The document spends a half page to an usher's appearance, with several requirements, mind you, to observe. First, an usher should be at least 25 years of age, or at least old enough to have the adult look. I still don't know what that means. But he, and yes, friends, always a he, I quote, should neither be so tall or so short as to make people feel conspicuous in his presence. Now, he need not be a handsome man, but he must be pleasant. And a lot of attention goes into describing the color of the suit, dark colors only. And I love this. How bow ties are really only suitable on tall, husky men rather than short fellows, so you all know. Yes. Pocket squares required. And it devotes an entire paragraph to the proper way to buff and shine your black-only church shoes. So all the ushers and wannabe ushers out there, take heed. According to these instructions, you should never neglect the four S's of ushering. To be shaved, showered, shined, and shampooed. Now, the biggest chuckle I got out of this whole document was its description on how to greet women. The usher must remember never to offer to shake hands with a lady. If she, being so brash on her own accord, offers to shake, it says, then cooperate. Otherwise, you are to just bow. So, ladies, if you did not get your proper bow from an usher today, perhaps on your way out. This entire document was hilarious, but I will say that it speaks volumes to the place of honor and privilege that ushering was here at GPC and in many churches across the United States. It was expected that ushers would take the position very seriously. And one of the challenges, I'm only going to guess, but it's one that befalls many religious communities upon taking responsibility so seriously, is then the tendency to raise the position above everyone else, especially those who might walk through the door on any Sunday morning. And then you can almost guess that that tension, a separation, starts to grow between ushers and those in the pews. It kind of, you know, bleeds over to those who are serving as elders, thinking of themselves better than those who serve as trustees, or those deacons being separate from those who are engaged in mission relationships, and those longtime members feeling separate from the people who are new to church. And of course, this idea that people who give large amounts of money are better than those who don't. It never really takes long for a religious community to forget what it is that they come together for. And the Bible is full of these reminders to communities, well, to get their act together, to be what it is they are called to be about. And the early community, the Christian community in Corinth, was no exception. They had fallen into the familiar practices and patterns of valuing wealthy members of the community over those who were poor. And in Corinth, the whole controversy is centered around communion, the Lord's Supper. And this was back when communion was part of a larger meal of sorts. It was meant to be a time of coming together, kind of like our potluck, a time of building up the body and sharing and hospitality for all. Here's the thing. Paul heard that those wealthier members who arrived, shaved, showered, shined, and shampooed, were ensuring their wealthy counterparts got to the front of the line first. And by the time the poorer members arrived, running late probably due to working the late shift, and they were the ones who couldn't afford a pocket square, they had to scrape the crusty leftovers out of that casserole pan. And there was nothing surprising about this as a cultural practice, but for the church, according to the Apostle Paul, this was absolutely unacceptable. And instead of just teaching them, giving them a lesson, or even reprimanding and slapping their hands, he uses vivid, really, kind of fun imagery for them so that they would remember. For just as the body is one and has many parts, all are parts of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. And so with these words, Paul offered them an image of who they were to be as the church. Actually, he offered them an image of who they were as the church. We have to notice that Paul did not say, "Now you are to be like one body, you are to be like Christ." No, Paul wrote, "You are one body. And that body belongs to Christ." You see, Paul desired for the church to know that their actions were considered Christ's actions. Their gifts and ministries were considered Christ's gifts and ministries. In their baptism, they had been brought into the body of Christ, into a realm of blessing and challenge. And being Christ's body was the sole basis of their existence. And I know it's kind of hard to hear it as I read it from the Bible, but Paul actually is getting a bit silly to make his point. If the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Imagine, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? I also wonder if Paul wanted to make sure that no one could say back to him, well, Paul, but, you know, I don't give as much money, so I don't belong to the body. Or, yeah, Pastor Paul, in case you haven't noticed, I'm getting up there in years. I can't drive at night, and I don't move around very well. I don't think I belong to the body. Or, hey, I come to church by myself. Just not sure where I fit. I'm sure I don't belong to the body. Or maybe I'm just a kid. And adults get all weird and uncomfortable when they talk to me, so definitely I'm not part of the body. Or I'm really struggling and overwhelmed dealing with everyday life. I certainly don't belong to the body. Paul says, not even close. Every single one of you is part of the body of Christ. Without you, the body cannot and will not function the way God intends for the body to function. And Paul, being Paul, he keeps going. And he even bumps it up a notch. You see, not only could you opt out of being part of the body, you couldn't push anyone out either. You couldn't say, just because you don't have a pocket square or a suit or your shoes aren't shined, you haven't shaved today or maybe even showered, you can't be part of this body. Stop right there, Paul says. Without all of you, the body cannot, will not function the way God intends the body to function. And believe it or not, he's still not done. Paul takes it to a higher level. As it is, Paul declared, God is the one. God is the one who arranged the members in the body in the first place. Each one of us, as God chose. Paul wanted them to hear that they just didn't randomly show up at that house church in Corinth. God called them there together. Just like none of us just happened to randomly show up here 10 a.m. at 1049 Wegman Road, because whether this is your first time or you've been here your whole life, Paul tells us that God called all of us here together this morning. And as one preacher reminds us, God is the one who has arranged for all of us to be Christ's body together. Wealthy people, less wealthy, barely making it people, straight people, gay people, somewhere on the spectrum people, black people, white people, all shades of skin people, able-bodied people, and those with disabled-bodied people. New on the block people, and I've been part of this church since I was baptized on Buffalo Road people. And yes, you liberal people and conservative people and middle of the road or I don't even care anymore people, God arranged for all of us to be Christ's body together. God's done this on purpose. Paul declared so that there would be no dissension in the body, so that all would have the same care for one another, no matter what. Isn't that interesting? Instead of fearing a great diversity of people or only wanting to be around folks who are like-minded, Paul indicates that God wants the body to be messy and complicated and diverse. So it might be able to learn to love each other without competition or separation or pocket squares or scowling. May it be so. Amen. Bringing all that peopleness together. We bring all of who we are and all that we are. We bring our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern. If you have one to share aloud, we'd love to be in prayer with you. We are a praying community. And as the microphones make their way around, just raise your hand. I do have two prayers to share with you. First, a correction in the bulletin. It was Jan Brewer, whose younger brother died a few weeks ago. So we continue our time of prayer in supporting Jan and her family. And we also continue to pray for Jerry and Pam Crandall, whose daughter, Shelley, decided to discontinue chemo treatments for her cancer. So prayers for comfort that she remains pain-free. For what else do we pray this morning?
Cheryl Fennell. I have another correction. It was Katie's grandmother who passed away, not her mother.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for a member who was here with us for quite some time, but then moved back to Spencerport, for Rita Getman, who passed away a couple weeks ago. And then a few days ago, a friend of mine who served as the fire marshal in the town of Chile for many years, passed away. His name was Jim Christian, and I ask for prayers for his family. And on a global scale, I'd like to ask that we keep prayers for the people of Venezuela and our friends in Guatemala and Honduras and elsewhere where there's a lot of trouble in the governments. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Jim Paul, they're friends of ours, Bill and Joanne Marinetti. Bill was diagnosed with kidney cancer and scheduled to have that, removed. And Friday he found out, his wife found out, she has leukemia. Mm. So keep that family in your prayers.
Continue prayers for the family, Jim. See a hand back here. Any other? And also a reminder for our children who are worshiping with us this morning. Every Sunday, as you're in Sunday school, you send your prayers in here and we say them together. And this is one of those Sundays that if you have a prayer and want to be brave and use that microphone, you're invited to share your prayer.
I ask prayers for the family of Christine Moriel. She's a friend of Mary's. Way too young to pass on, and leaves two children and a father looking for the rest of the family. So prayers for the family.
Prayers for that family, Al. Let us continue our time. Oh, did I see a hand? I see a hand. It's all right. It's all good. The microphone makes its way over.
I have a prayer for my friend Liana. Her dad died, and we're not sure how yet, but just prayers for her and her family.
Absolutely. Thank you, Caitlin. Prayers for Liana and her family, definitely.
Eric Vail, I just asked that you pray for my father, who was just recently diagnosed with ALS. So I know it's a slow, progressive disease, but prayers are very much appreciated. Thank you.
Eric, prayers for your dad. Do I see a hand? Gotta put it, there we go. There we go. I know. Remember, the body. We work it out a little too.
Christy Stewart, our son-in-law John was with us this weekend, which was a great joy. But we also learned so much about what's happening in Syria still. So I ask for your prayers for the people of Syria and also John, as he lost three acquaintances, soldiers, friends, in the bombing that happened there a few weeks ago.
Prayers for the people of Syria and those who are connected. Owen, did you have a prayer? You good? Oh, okay. Well, you know what? God does such a good job listening. So, amen. Let us pray together, friends. Gift giver, you call us together with our different gifts, our different ideas, our different tastes. We remember that you call us together to share what makes us special, to build each other up, to serve each other in love. You, in fact, call us together, knowing that we need all parts of the body if we are to be whole. You call us together to sing, to pray, to listen, to speak, to be refreshed so that we can go out and serve. You call us together in the name of the one who taught his friends to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." Let us now receive the morning offering.
God, through your Son Jesus, you taught us that we all can contribute in some way to the body of Christ and the work of Christ's church. We are thankful for all the ways we can give as your people together. Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you for our additional musicians this morning. What a treat to have them in worship. At this time, I'm going to call together those who have been elected to serve as our elders, our deacons, our trustees, and officers of the church. Please make sure you bring your bulletins with you, and we're going to form a half circle up here. Those who are elected to serve as elders, Jean Buettner-Schertz and Keith Hadley, Lauren Henderberg, Sherry McFarlane, Anne-Marie Sim, Kate Stanford, and Larry Wakeman, come on down as I call your name. So we'll put all our elders over here on this side. Those who are elected to serve as deacons, come on down as I call your name. Dan Charcola, Christine Cook, Tess McKeel, Simon Jumba, Velta Roshan, Julie Said, Osmond Sim, Irene Ward, come on down. I don't have a big wheel for you to spin, but you all are doing great. And those who are elected to serve as trustees, Bob Binko, Gary Dykes, Vicki Gutile, Marty Oman, Tom Ward, and Aaliyah Binko. Re-elected to serve as our treasurer, Tracy Berkovich, and our financial secretary, Vicki Gutile. I think we've got everyone. All right. Let us share in our liturgy of ordination and installation together that is printed in your bulletin. In Christ, we are made one and we all belong together.
We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us.
If your gift is to hear God's word,
speak it out in faith.
If your gift is service,
live to serve others.
If your gift is the heart of a teacher,
teach what is true.
We celebrate our individual gifts and affirm that we are called in all things
to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate in the name of Christ our commitment to nurture, support, sustain the spiritual gifts of all gathered.
May we be enjoined together this day in living out a shared ministry which emulates the life and witness of Christ.
Holy God, bless this covenant of people ministering together, responding to the promises of our baptism. May we witness your gifts in one another. May we grow together in joy and wisdom as we venture forth, praising your spirit. Amen. All right, I'm going to come around to this other side. So we ask all of you together, and if you're a deacon, elder, or trustee, and you think you're supposed to be on this list and I didn't call your name, you can come on down. We're happy to have whoever would like. Dear friends, all of you here, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be true? By the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal, and God's word to you, do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith, as expressed in the confessions of the church, as authentic, reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do, and will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God, do you? Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? And will you be governed by our church's polity? Will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you?
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace and unity and purity of the church? Do you? And will you seek to serve the people with energy and intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? Those who are newly elected elders, I think most of you are standing over here. Friends, will you be a faithful leader, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? And will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And do we, the members of the church, accept Jan Buettner-Schertz and Keith Hadley, Lauren Henderberg, Sherry McFarlane, Anne-Marie Sim, Kate Stanford, and Larry Wakeman as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? Do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? And deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And do we, the members of the church, accept Dan and Christine, Tess, Simon, Velta, Julie, Osman, Irene, and Laura as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? And do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? Do we? And your last questions here. Do we, the members of the church, accept Bob and Gary, Vicky, Marty, Tom, Aaliyah, and Tracy as trustees and officers chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, fulfilling their fiduciary responsibilities? Do we? Do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? So for those who have yet to be ordained to any office, the list I have right now is Kate Stanford and Christine. Have you been ordained before? So the two of you, everyone else standing up here, you've been ordained as an elder or deacon, either in this church or another Presbyterian church. Those ordinations transfer. So I think it's just the two, is that correct? And trustees, you're not ordained, you are installed as officers. So Christine and Kate, will have the two of you step forward. And at this time, if this circle would come and lay their hands on the two who are being ordained, and members of the congregation, as you are comfortable and able, I would encourage all of you to come and lay a hand on a shoulder. And if mobility concerns are an issue, if someone would just stay next to you so that we are all at least coming in contact with another human being, that would be wonderful. Make sure you bring your bulletin with you. Make sure you bring that bulletin with you. And like I said, if you choose to remain in the pews, if you don't mind just holding hands or elbows or shoulders, something to help keep us connected as the body of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Kate and Christine.
that they may be faithful elders and deacons in the church. Give them wisdom, courage, humility, and compassion to serve as the spiritual leaders of this family of faith. In all things, may they be servant leaders, following Christ who came, not to be served, but to serve, to give his life to set others free. Amen. Friends, you are now elders and deacons of the Church of Jesus Christ for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in the world. And this is the these are the leaders of the church here at Gates Presbyterian Church in this time and place and season of ministry as elders and deacons and trustees. For this we give thanks. And we sing together. So you can stay where you are. If you want to move a little bit back to your pews, you're welcome to do that as well. But being here together as we sing, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? Of being the body of Christ, especially here in this physical space at Gates Presbyterian Church, is there never is a separation. No one is up higher than anyone else or set apart. We are all called. We are called to be the body of Christ in the world, the hands and the feet and the arms and the eyes and the ears and the noses. So let us be the body of Christ in the world today. Go with the strength that God gives to each of us, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that empowers each of us, and the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit that it takes to do this each and every day, now and always. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you.
test.